Big run. Dion Evans in the open field. It is a track meet. He's to the 20, to the 10, touchdown, Tennessee, 92 yards.
It's a good day on Saturday. Well, the first 30 minutes of the show, we're talking about what took place in New York. That was not good. It was good in Columbia, Missouri. All Vols. By the way, you can watch Darren, Donnick, and Chase streaming live every single day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, our show presented by Creation CBD. Products curated for life. Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter now joins us. He's with the Sports Animal there in Knoxville. 62-24. It was all Vols. It was 28-3 after the first quarter. They never looked back. They were blasting them. What was it, 45-10 at the half? Never a game. Tennessee, I lost track. I mean, what did they finish with? 500 yards rushing? I think it was more like 450, but just pounded the football. Now, Missouri, I think, is the worst rushing defense in the country, but nonetheless, Tennessee exploited that and went for 450 plus. What a day. Did you see that coming?
No, not to that degree. I picked Tennessee to win the game, but not like that. And by the way, I watch your video stream of your show as well, so you guys, everyone listening should do that also, as well as listening on the app. But no, that kind of domination, I don't think anybody saw that coming. Now, when we talked to Tyon Evans during the week last week, he started smiling when he was asked about, you know, Missouri, and people threw out the rushing defense stats, and he's like, we're about to have some fun this weekend. And he wasn't kidding. You know, that 92-yard touchdown, you know, just a massive hole on the offensive line. And then you can see one of the reserve offensive linemen's guards, Ollie Lane, who's a Knoxville kid. You can see him, like, start to sprint down the field behind the play. And then after, like, you know, 10, 15 yards, he's like, I'm not going to catch it. I don't know why I'm running. But he just wanted to get down there and celebrate because he was so excited because they went over his side on that big run. And, you know, it didn't matter. Small had a big run before he came out with his shoulder banged up. And then even we saw Lanith Whitehead, who's a guy, big physical running back. We've been asking, where is he? Where is D. Beckwith? We saw Whitehead, 76 carries, by far the most action he has gotten. And even a walk-on in Marcus Pierce, 11 carries, 45 yards, and a rushing touchdown. So Hendon Hooker in the run game, the passing game was efficient. They're hitting those shots down the field now with more frequency, including to Peyton. So a lot of things really clicked, and I think, obviously, I told you guys last week, this was the kind of game where you should judge this coaching staff for a couple of reasons. One, are they making progress? Two, this is the kind of opponent where you're supposed to be able to have a chance to win, not Florida's and Georgia's and all that and Alabama's. But this is how you judge this coaching staff, because that will determine the kind of season you ultimately have in year one at Heupel. And then another thing is, I pointed out with you guys last week, is this is a true test of culture. These guys talk about how much fun they're having, how they hang out, how they're connected is so much different and improved from last year. And if that's the case, they needed to show that they can clean up some of those mistakes with penalties and all the drops and all that kind of stuff. Only two penalties in the game, no turnovers. So you saw them be able to improve. And look, you can say Missouri stinks all day, but so does Bowling Green.
Missouri was favored in that game.
Right.
So I mean, we can say they stink all we want, but the odds makers had them as the favorite. So
right. Yeah, and look, there's plenty of teams that don't beat teams that stink by that much and don't dominate them. And it was progress from the first four games where it was a complete mixed bag. You saw them improve. Now, how do you build off of that? I mean, the taking care of business against South Carolina, but I think that's where the encouraging part is it's not like they play that way against bad competition before. That was still a step up and a step in the right direction for them and show that when they play clean, they can be pretty good, and there's some ability on this team, especially offensively.
Yeah, 62 points was about a month's worth of offense for Jeremy Pruitt's offense, just saying. And by the way, is there not a bigger misnomer about Josh Heupel's offense? You know, you just think up, you know, fast tempo, Rio, always on the move, throwing, slinging the ball around. It's not that at all, right? I mean, they absolutely are going to run the football. It is not about slinging the ball around the field
100%.
60 times a game.
They've been that way. They were that way at UCF. They were very good about running the ball. They're not Mike Leach, who refuses to run the ball. No, they're very balanced, and that's when they're at their best. See, what they're able to do is with those multi-wides and the pace, they're able to, one, spread you out, and then, two, wear you down with that pace to where you can't substitute, and they can use that to their advantage and gush you. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Darren, because when you go back and you look at the first year of Heupel when he took over as OC at Missouri, Tennessee's numbers, and they had a prolific offense at Missouri, their numbers across the board, Tennessee year one under Heupel and Mizzou that year, almost identical from plays run to yards per play, total yards in the game. All of it is almost identical. And then, you know, they're not quite to the UCF level of numbers that they had there, but just kind of showing that, hey, he's able to make a quick impact right out of the gate early on when he runs an offense. And he's having that impact here clearly with, even though they don't have a ton of depth and they've been banged up on the offensive line, which actually makes it even more impressive, there's some ability with this group.
This South Carolina game, and I know this sounds silly, but it's not. If you're looking for first-year success and building blocks and moving in the right direction, you know, this team needs to get to at least six wins, right? They need to put themselves in a position to get a bowl bid, and it is going to get really hairy after the South Carolina game for about a month. Ole Miss, Alabama, Kentucky, and Georgia. So this South Carolina game, and then you've got, you know, two manageable games, to say the least, at the end of the schedule that should result in victories. That's why with three wins, this South Carolina game is to me, serving up to be a huge, huge game for them. Because I'm not saying they can't win one of those four games, but, you know, it's not going to – those are four games they could easily lose. That's why I think this game is critical. You agree or disagree?
I do 100% agree. You don't want to erase the good that you got out of that Missouri game, because what that Missouri game now does is put you in a great position to reach six games, which that's where I had them. I mean, the games have worked out exactly like I thought. But they lose to Pitt, win on the road at Mizzou, and then beat South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and that's how you get to the, and all the rest of their non-conference, and that's how you get to six wins. But now what the Mizzou game has done is it puts them in a really good position to take care of business and get to six wins, but it also puts seven wins at least more realistic in play to me. Now, first things first, you got to take care of South Carolina, so you're not immature and you're not going to read your press clippings or any of that stuff. But at least now, if they do take care of business in some of those other games, now you feel like, okay, maybe Kentucky might be in play. You know, who knows if Ole Miss starts going in the wrong direction, even though I don't think that's a great matchup necessarily for Tennessee defense. And I don't want to judge Ole Miss totally based on that Alabama game, because that's Alabama and not anybody else. But at least you can have that conversation and start to say, all right, if they keep getting better, maybe get healthy, you know, maybe Kentucky is a down game or whatever, maybe you can win that game and get to seven wins. So it wasn't a realistic conversation prior to them showing that they could win that game at Mizzou. And obviously, you got to get your dubs while you can. And another thing is you got to show maturity in taking care of business against South Carolina and keep taking steps forward and not go back to the yo-yo that they were in their first four games.
Is Hooker solidified himself as, without a doubt, the starter for the Vols?
You mean what I think or what Josh Heupel will say?
I want to know what you don't want coach speak. I want to know what you – I mean, is he the guy until he's not the guy?
Yes, 100%. I don't think I would be surprised if he takes a stance and says Hendon's our guy for right now. He's complimented him. He talked about in the post game his poise, his command of the offense and what they're trying to do, decision making. I mean, these are all the things that are important in Heupel's offense, more so than the elite arm strength that Joe Milton brought to the table. And on that subject, you know, we spent a whole lot of time talking about those quarterbacks, and I was, you know, pretty adamant that I thought it would be Joe Milton that would be the quarterback, not because I was so convinced that Joe Milton was going to have this spectacular year as Tennessee's quarterback. It was because I thought they were going to choose Joe Milton and to start the year. And guess what they did? They chose Joe Milton. So we hear from plenty of people who are like, oh, LOL to all of you that thought Joe Milton was going to be Tennessee's quarterback and the guy. Well, the coaches picked him. and really, what led to Hendon Hooker being the quarterback now and playing this well is the fact that Joe Milton got hurt on a sack and fumble. And that allowed Hendon Hooker to come in and play well. What happens if Joe Milton doesn't get hurt? When do they go to, from a performance standpoint, to Hendon Hooker, or do they? Is Joe Milton the quarterback at Missouri yesterday and you have completely different results? We'll never know. And so that's what's another different dynamic to this. But there's no way this coaching staff can trot Joe Milton out there with as well as Hendon Hooker has played. So to me, yeah, if he starts turning the ball over or regresses a ton, then yeah, they may go back to Milton. But for right now, it's unquestionably Hendon Hooker's kick.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. And Vince, we had the opportunity to talk to Velus Jones Jr. at SEC Media Days. I was very impressed with him. His role was obviously going to be looking to expand this year. 7 receptions, which is the most he's had this year by far, 79 yards and a touchdown in the game against Missouri. Is he kind of right where you thought he'd be? Is he below or above? Like, where would you rate his performance right now through these first handful of games?
Well, he's coming on, and part of that is his health. He had, a hamstring injury earlier in camp, and so he was limited. But the last couple of games, you've seen him be healthier. And now I think you're seeing Hendon Hooker be able to make those good decisions and get him the ball quickly. Now they've had some options at receiver as well. There's other guys that are getting open and getting the football also. But they're also not having it in Missouri. I mean, they have to throw the ball a ton, but they were really good when they did. So yeah, I think with Velus, I think the 7 catches ties a career high for him as well. I think he's about where I thought. I didn't think he was the number one guy or what a lot of people call a true number one receiver, because I thought it'd be a pretty even group with Tillman. I thought Hyatt would be a factor, but he has not been a factor really at all. He's been the biggest surprise. And then Javonte Payton, the Mississippi State transfer, has been good also. And, you know, there's other guys too that could potentially get in the mix, but it's played out similar to where I thought, where it'd be a little bit by committee, and you got a lot of really good guys that have some potential, but maybe not, like a Butte at LSU, someone like that. I think it's about like I anticipated, but he's played really well when healthy.
Jeremy Banks got to the quarterback for the team's only sack against Missouri, but overall with the defensive pass rush, you know, Banks, I guess, being in that group, how would you rate it so far?
Well, I think actually the pass rush, even though they're affecting the quarterback, they're not getting the numbers in terms of sacks. I think in this game, what was best for them is how they defended Tyler Beatty. And Beatty was accounting for about a third of their total offense, about 150 yards per game rushing and receiving. I mean, he was clearly the guy. The guys admitted in the post game, the defensive guys that we talked to, and Jalen McCullough, that, you know, Beatty was their focus. And you saw a lot of guys just really recognize where he was. One time where he sprinted out of the backfield to try to make himself available in the flat, and you saw one of Tennessee safeties, a true freshman in Christian Charles, who started for Trayvon Flowers. Tennessee had 2 defensive starters actually three defensive starters out in that game, and they still played that well. And Charles is a true freshman, and he immediately jumped that route, knew exactly where Mizzou tried to go with the ball. They had some other pressures, so they're not getting the edge rush from their DN slash outside linebackers that they call Leos and Tyler Barron and Byron Young. Young really has not been a huge factor to this point, but they're still manufacturing some affecting of the quarterback, and some of that is those linebackers, safeties as well, and then Theo Jackson is continued to play outstanding, and he left that game also, which opened more playing time and snaps, as did the score for other guys. So they're very aggressive, and the biggest thing, Chase, is they know what they're doing. And that's on both sides of the ball. I mean, I can't tell you how frustrating it was to watch this team week in, week out last year, offense and defense, and you have guys not ready at the snap because they're still trying to figure out what they're supposed to do, and then maybe slow off the ball because they're trying to think, all right, what am I supposed to do here? Where am I going? And am I to take a false step to one side? And then you're out of position, and it's over. They give themselves at least a chance without an elite roster to make plays because it's more simplified for them. They can play fast, and they know what they're doing. And that is an upgrade in coaching for sure with this Tennessee team.
Vince, before we let you go, you made a bold pick on Ole Miss, which we definitely noted throughout the week, and yeah, we were referring to it when we were breaking out the game. Certainly Alabama flexed their muscles, particularly in the first half, but just give me your thoughts of what you saw there.
Yeah, that's what can happen with Alabama. It can really snowball on you quickly, and you know, Ole Miss not being able to convert in a fourth down, you know, deep in Alabama's end, and then Alabama able to convert, and then you know, then Lane's going forward on fourth down constantly, and it's not working out for him. It stopped working out for him after he did it a couple of times. So that's the avalanche that can be Alabama. I think since I've been here in 2010 and started doing predictions, and I do a ton of them, all the SEC games and even some more, I think that's the first time thinking about it I ever picked against Alabama in any game, any setting. And I'll just go back to the way I had it after that one. But just Ole Miss just was not good enough at the line of scrimmage, and it was dominant. Alabama clearly shows that when you think they don't have a running game, they do have a running game. And Nick Saban continues to make those adjustments. They'll be right there with Georgia, the two best teams. I don't think, to me, there's any doubt about it that they are the two best teams. And nobody's a finished product each week. It's a whole new week. But those are the two teams that we really know what we get from week to week, even if they're getting better. While everyone else, you're going to have some more of the up and downs.
Vince, great stuff. You're right. Georgia and Alabama look awfully tough, but it was a good step forward for Tennessee. I know you're real busy today. Thanks for moving around for us. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate you.
Vince Ferrara, Sports Animal, Knoxville. His weekly check-in. Normally we do it at noon. We've got a lot to juggle here today. Mike Vrabel will be talking at noon. We will carry that. It'll be an important press conference as the Titans try to sift through what happened yesterday in the Meadowlands. Stay tuned. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one after this.